welcome to another edition of Sling Stones with Terry Wardle.
Hi, this is Terry Wardle, and welcome to Sling Stones. I was reflecting on the fact that about a month ago I had the opportunity to meet Olympian Jenny Simpson. She is the first woman medalist in the women's 1500 track and field event. Interestingly, I hadn't watched much of the Olympics, but I did catch that race. And what really stunned me about the race is that when she came across the finish line and she had won the bronze medal, her face was beaming with joy, absolute joy. And I remember saying to Sherry as we watched it, Cheryl's my wife, that's the face of someone who's been surprised by joy. It was delightful. I didn't know anything about her at the time. But later on, I was out here in Colorado, and I had the opportunity to preach several times at a wonderful church called Cornerstone Community Church. It's in Boulder, Colorado. Boy, if you're ever in this area, you want to go to this church. Great worship, great preaching, great congregation of people. They really know and love the Lord. As I'm there preaching, all of a sudden I look and there's Jenny Simpson sitting in the congregation. And so I made my way to her right away and talked to her about this joy that I experienced. And we had a nice exchange. And I learned that Jenny Simpson is a follower of Christ, like us. And just like we do here on this podcast, we talked about what it means to walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. She introduced me to some of her track and field friends. That was delightful. And she was simply delightful in every way. And I want to bless her life. So I hope sometime you go to Cornerstone Church in Boulder. And if you're lucky, you'll meet Jenny Simpson. And she'll be able to bless your life the way she blessed mine. But in seeing her, it reminded me of a story of another Olympian that took place in 1968. You may have heard this story. It's been, well, very touching in my own life. It's the story of a runner, a marathon runner from Tanzania named John Stephen Akwari. In 1968, he qualified for the Olympics, which were held then in Mexico City. And his country sent him there, and he was there to run in the marathon. It was a 42K marathon. And when he came to the 19th kilometer, he ended up falling and hurting himself quite a bit. And as a result of that, all the other runners ran on, and he had to kind of bandage up his leg and struggled with his knee, and he could barely walk, let alone run, and the race ended. And it was hours later when suddenly they were given information that there was still another runner on the field. There was no one left in the stadium, but some of the journalists and news crews, came, and they waited for him to enter the stadium to finish the race, which was hours late. At the end of all this time, elapsed between when all the other runners had completed the race, he struggles across the finish line, and one of the journalists asked him, "Why in the world would you do this? You're hurt severely. You're barely moving, let alone running, and the race has been over for hours." And John Stephen Akwari said something that I've never forgotten, and it's really an important biblical principle. He said this, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race." Finish a race. Is that a biblical metaphor or not? Paul talks about the fact that he kept the faith, he finished the course, and that's an admonition for us to do the same. That doesn't mean by any means that we're the first one across and that there's no bumps or bruises or scars. I think there'll be plenty of times when we've fallen down. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German martyr of World War II, said once that the question is not have we fallen, the question is have we gotten up? Do we get up and do we keep on going? And so when we talk about finishing well, it means that we've kept the faith through all the bumps and bruises and difficulties of life. It's not easy, is it? Trials come at us hard, and the values of this world are nothing to laugh at because they are so conflicting when it comes to the values of the kingdom. It's tough to be a Christian. It's hard to be a Christian in this world, in this time, in this place. And yet we're admonished that let's just keep going. When we stumble and fall, ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength to pick you up so that you can continue on to move down the road in order that you can finish to the glory of the Lord. You know, there's something I don't think we think a lot about in the teaching of Jesus and the parable of the sower. He talks about four types of soil: hard soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, and good soil. And when he interpreted this parable to his disciples, he said that a farmer sowing seed is like the gospel of the kingdom, that good news of the kingdom we've been talking about being sown. And he said, some of it falls on hard soil. It doesn't get in. The birds steal it, which he said is the devil stealing it right away. They don't even get to hear the gospel of the kingdom. And then for some people, it's rocky soil that it goes in, but it's so shallow that it has no ability to take root and it dies out quickly. And then he talks about that some people, they just have so many things going on in their lives. They're so conflicted with preoccupations that it gets choked out. Now, when you think about it, what Jesus is saying is 3/4 of the people who hear the gospel and many that respond will not finish well. That's important for us to think about, because I think you want to finish well, no matter how tough it is. And I certainly want to finish well. And the temptations are going to come, and they're going to come hard, and they're going to come fast. So what does it take to finish well? Well, I'm sure we could talk about many things. But one of the things that I've learned is, if you want to end well, you got to be present now. Let me say that again. If you want to end well, be present with God in the now. Don't think about the end. Don't make plans for the end. Don't make promises for the end. Instead, in every present moment, search for God, what He's doing, what He's saying, and how you can participate and lean in with Him. You know, one of the things that many people struggle with is what I call past-future focus. I wrote about this in a new book called Every Breath We Take. If you're interested in it, it's on how to be more present with God. It's available on Amazon and through other bookselling sites. But past-future focus means that in many of the moments of our lives, we're thinking about what did happen or what might happen, but we're not present with what is happening. And what I've learned is God is in the now. He's not meandering through our thoughts about what happened yesterday, nor is He sitting out trying to get us to plan for what happens tomorrow, but He's in the now. That's why Jesus said, seek the kingdom in the now. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And many of us miss the dynamic presence of the Lord in the now because we're so preoccupied with things that have happened and things that might happen. I do that all the time. You know, sometimes I arrive at a destination without having any sense of the journey at all. I'm amazed. I'll go, wait a minute, I got here to work. I passed 2 stopping lights, and I can't even remember whether I waited for it to turn green or not. It's not in my conscious memory. Why? Because I was too preoccupied, and I didn't pay attention in the present moment. I happen to like an author named Greg Boyd. He's a pastor, but a theologian. And he said in one of his books, Present Perfect, that there's no moment more full of the presence of God than the moment you're in right now. Do you hear that? No moment more full of the presence of God than the moment you're in right now. When you're listening to this, if you're driving in the car or cooking food or sitting on your couch, God is present right now. And there's no moment in which He's going to be more present than this moment. Our problem is we're not present. I remember once I was having my devotional time and praying, and I was really desperate for God, and I said to Him, Lord, be present with me today. And I felt the Lord said, no, you. And I began to laugh because I knew what He was saying. He was present. I'm the one that wasn't present. Just sitting in my chair with a Bible didn't make me present. I needed to be more focused on the now. Ronald Rollheiser is a Roman Catholic priest. He's written a number of wonderful books, and in one of them he says, our problem in life as Christians is not the absence of God's presence, but instead the absence of awareness of God's presence. We're not aware. We're not present. One of the followers of St. Francis is known today as St. Bonaventure. And In reading some of his writing, which is obviously centuries old, he said that we need to pray for the opening of our spiritual senses. The opening of our spiritual senses. We need to pray that God would open our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, our spiritual sense of taste and touch, our spiritual sight, our spiritual smell. We need to ask God to open our spiritual senses. Well, this makes sense. Jesus himself said once that you have eyes but don't see and ears that don't hear. And often that's because we're not able to be in the present moment. So I have this practice that I'll take my fingers and I'll lay them on my eyes and simply pray, Lord, open my spiritual eyes today. Open my spiritual ears as I touch my ears and so forth. Why? Because I want to be present in what God is doing in the now. It's not easy, especially if you spent years like me preoccupied with past and future focused. But if we will pray to God, we begin to find that God wants us to be present in this moment. Now, I want to suggest something very specific about what you could be focusing on in the present moment that might help you. I would love you to consider focusing on this one thought, at least for the next few days. In every present moment, remember that God is for you. Did you hear that? Bring yourself to every present moment and remember, God is for me. And give him thanks for that. He's not against you, as many people might think. He's not looking forward to judging you. He's not distancing from you because of your behavior. Instead, he crossed the universe to be present with you through the Holy Spirit, and he is for you. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, there's this scripture that says that God began a good work in you. He's going to see it through to completion. It's not all left up to you. Yeah, you have to make effort. You have to position yourself for God to touch you. But this is not all left up to you. God is for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, it talks about how God wants to keep you that you should be kept blameless. And then it says, don't worry about it. God will do it if you trust in him. In Hebrews chapter 7, it's verse 23 or 24, I believe, it says that Jesus lives to intercede for you. He's pulling for you. He's wanting you to understand that he is for you. You know, I'll talk about this again some other time, but there's an amazing story in chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Acts about a man named Stephen, and that he was faithful to the end, a spirit-filled man. And one of the things it says is that when really the religious leaders of his own community and some of his own friends decided to stone him for his belief in Messiah Jesus. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he looked into heaven and he saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now that should capture our attention because in most all other passages of Scripture, it refers to the fact that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And yet in this case, when one of those he loves that is held in his heart was taking it in the throat, the Bible says that Jesus stood. It's a symbol of the fact that in the toughest of times, Jesus is for us. And he's not a passive observer. He's there to give us strength. He's there to hold us up. And he's there to receive us in the end. You know, the fact that God is for us doesn't mean that you're going to go pick the right numbers to the lottery, that all of a sudden your stocks are going to earn more money than everyone else's, and that you're going to get your promotion that you've been waiting for. It doesn't mean that. It means that in your life, the Lord will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and he will be there with you to sustain you in the difficult times. I mentioned in a previous podcast that I struggled for a number of years after a breakdown with rather severe anxiety. Sometimes I'd have multiple panic attacks in a day, and other times I'd be asleep at night and wake up in a panic, and I would get up and I would go downstairs and I would lean on the wall many times and just pray with all of my heart about this. And I wanted freed, and I wanted freed immediately, which didn't happen that way for me, though it does for many. But do you know the one thing I realized after doing that for a while, that while I was praying, he was there. And just the fact that he was there made all the difference in the world. It gave me a confidence that in the midst of my weakness, His strength would be enough. And I think that's true for you and for everyone else that has expressed faith in Jesus Christ. God is for you. And if we want to finish well, it would do us well to think a little bit more in every present moment that God is for us and give Him thanks. He initiated our salvation. He crossed the universe. He paid the price. He spilled His blood. He gives us the Spirit. And that same generosity of care is in this present moment. So why don't you just stop? Why don't you simply give a word of thanks and ask the Lord to help you be present with Him, even for a few moments in which you could know He's for you. And in that He's for you, let me end once again by reminding you, He's blessing you. His face shines on you, and He has more than enough grace just for you. My prayer is that the Lord would turn His face to you in such a way that you would find peace, regardless of the storm you're in, and that you would know you are loved. God bless.
Grace and peace. Grace and peace be with you. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand and cause His face to shine. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand and cause